what to do. We should meet actually to discuss. I have a proposition for I have a radical proposition which I'm fairly sure if it was taken up, that within a short time the Irish Yatra could be booming with many devotees. However, I don't think you'll want to take it up. Can you guess what it is? No, it's a highly radical proposition. Any guesses? That's it. I mean, he was more or less thrown up, and we can understand some of the reasons why that was so, but on the other hand, he's a charismatic leader, and it's what he had the whole yatra booming. I mean, maybe it was literally booming too much in some ways. But on the other hand, he acquired properties, he made devotees, and so many things. He's a real leader by nature. And that was like 15 years ago since it?
Yeah,
it's about 15 years. So maybe he's mellowed out a little bit since then. Possibly. I'm not sure. I mean, the problem was that he upset particularly Sathru Maharaj's disciples, I think, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard he said some things which were really not at all very diplomatic about Sathru Maharaj. You know, whatever you feel. I mean, it's not beyond the bounds of Vaishnava behavior that one god brother will express some feelings, even if they're negative, about another. Because we're living in a practical world, and you know, not everyone agrees with everyone and everything. Although it's not very diplomatic, you might say, or very pragmatic even, to say to say among the disciples, especially it's not pragmatic to say when they're all the leaders of the natural. But anyway, that's my idea, that if we go along the way we're going with the people who are here, I mean, no insult or bad intention to anyone, but I don't see anyone here, including myself, who are charismatic leaders. I'm also not, you know, although I'm an ISKCON guru, I'm not a charismatic organizer or leader. I tend to work with people. I don't take the lead so much in organizing things. I'm more concerned with writing books and things. So, I mean, there are certain people who get right in there, roll their sleeves up. And you're all doing that too, but I mean, certain people have got certain qualities, and you know, some people have got it, just like you're saying, some people have inborn qualities of demons by birth, and some people have inborn qualities as well. And some people are born musicians, and some people are born leaders, and although all of us may lead to some extent, some more capable than others. You see, there are different devotees there. Prithu Prabhu, Shivaram Maharaj, in a completely different way to Prithu Prabhu, is also a person who can, you know, in Hungary, he went and he patiently built up and developed his family. So I asked him once, why don't you do the same thing? He said, I can't. He said, I don't want to get much involved because I can take the lead, but I can't lead if others don't want to follow. So that was his. In Hungary, he said, I can do everything. I'm spending more time there, I can do everything. The devotees cooperate. He he said in England, and I suppose that means Ireland also, that it's very difficult to organize when, it's very difficult to lead, it's not possible to lead actually when others don't want to follow. Of course, someone who's a very great leader, they can get even those who don't want to follow to follow. And those who don't want to follow, I mean, in politics, those in such a situation, those who don't want to follow, they get shocked. But we don't do that in our Christian culture. I mean, sometimes we throw them out of the zone and this kind of thing. Those days are over. So anyway, that's a suggestion. Okay, now you're going to shoot me.
We actually then invited people to go back further in. And right within spirits, then we sort of, you know, we put it quite a few, you know, borders were crossed, and you know, we had a good time. Now his disciples are kind of more involved in coming up to the track quite early, and they want to get involved in helping and so on like that. So, I definitely think that is, you know, it's sort of happening sort of slowly like that, but it's
Well, the thing is with Prithu Prabhu, the way he works is he takes charge, which would mean that your many years of effort and would be eclipsed. I mean, you'd have to take more of a back seat, I guess. So if he was gracious about it, which is all being recorded to him, I mean, he's not, you know, he has many wonderful qualities, but that may not be one in which he's most prominent. He might bring you on board and all this kind of thing. But it seems to me that, you know, different people work in different ways. Others work in teamwork. Of course, he works with a team, but the team's under him. Whereas others work with a team where they discuss and they come to an agreement and this and that, which is probably more, you know, it's more reasonable. But, you know, being reasonable and being nice doesn't always parallel being effective in leading. I mean, there are many management books about how you have to be nice to everyone and this and that, but you see people who are actually leaders, that if you actually don't lead, then sometimes you have to be not so nice to people. That's the way it is, because you know, you have to take decisions, and not everyone likes a decision, but then things get done. And sometimes when you take a decision, they get done in the wrong direction. But when you're trying to be nice to everyone and have a committee, and then actually nothing really gets done most of the time, because you don't really take any positive direction, because you're being careful not to tread on anyone's toes. And then if you do something, then there's always going to be someone who doesn't like it, and so you never do anything. I mean, these are very broad generalizations. So that would be the scenario, actually. I mean, I don't know if he'd take it up even, because he's got his hands full, but I think he probably might want to. And then the other charismatic leader in the area who could probably do something is Puri Maharaj. But I don't know actually if he would or could, because he already has, I think, the whole of North America. He's not really doing, seems to me, that much to develop it there. He's mostly developing Scotland. So in your case, it would probably mean moving to a different role, which might be nice eventually. Maybe a preaching role, instead of having to worry about all everything, especially the lecture. I mean, you could retire, so to speak, and just do preaching. I mean, it has been a great strain for you all these years, collecting, trying to get things done. You could probably have organized better if you didn't have to collect, but you did. So anyway, that's my proposition. Otherwise, I think the way things are going on, I mean, we can try and organize and this and that. Tribhuvanath Prabhu, when he was here, he also got things together, because he's a charismatic leader. And you actually...
Tribhuvanath made it to Africa. He wasn't also really wanted to go for Africa.
Yes, well, he developed things a little bit, and then he,
yeah,
a lot of the energy that he developed, he transferred it there.
He wanted to do it in Ireland as well, but he realized
that. Yeah, how much can you do?
Yeah.
How much can you do? And Prithivibhu's, you know, he's got a pretty big handful at the moment. He was just in Ireland at that time. He's got some area in America and some area in Germany. And taking on Germany seems to have strained his resources a little bit in terms of manpower.
He's got a center in Vienna too.
In Vienna, he's doing very well there too, yeah. No one had, he told me that no one had ever tried to preach there. They just used to go there and collect it and distribute, and mostly collect it. But then when they actually started preaching, they found it was very sweet and actually better than Germany and making devotees and everything. Because we generally tend to think of Austrians as being more Germans than the Germans. But then when they actually tried to preach them, they found it was very good preaching. And Ireland is such a nice place for preaching. Maybe someone like Prithivibhu is required, because although the Irish are, they, you know, they're very favorable and everything, they tend not to, you know, it's an ingrained national characteristic to be rebellious. So, I mean, everyone knows, right? So, unless there is unless someone's a very strong leader, it's very difficult to lead the Irish. What do you think about that? After all these years of trying. Anyway,
it's interesting that you're saying this on the eve of a regional GBC meeting in Ramadesh.
Is it?
Yeah, at the end of September, all the European leaders are coming together. Shimran was called a meeting in Ramadesh. And a lot of leaders are going there. Communications people are going, different presidents are going. Anybody who has a management problem is going.
Mm-hmm. You're going to try and sort it out at the committee level. It doesn't really work that well. Due to dissatisfaction with leaders in general in ISKCON, we've moved to a kind of committee. Generally, think everything's committee, 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 but nothing really happens. Things just kind of they tend to stagnate, and problems don't get solved. They just get moved around from one committee to another.
One thing is put is a Jesus man. I guess that's good for Ireland.
What's that?
He's a Jesus man.
Prithu, oh yeah, he knows. Are people still into Jesus? a few people came up to me, a couple of old people yesterday when we were on the Harinam.
So, oh, yeah.
I'm a Catholic, and then there were three girls, they looked like sisters, and the youngest was about 8 years old, said, "I believe in God," as if to say we don't or something. So, but
that's in the side bubble. People say this is just a side comment, but they say you worship Krishna, you worship God. They worship
God. Oh, what bastards! What bastards! I'm in favor of machine learning. So offensive. But it seems that with the Ireland's changed so much that even 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I'm preaching the Catholicism, it wasn't a big issue. I mean, people believed in it, and it wasn't so much an obstruction to our preaching. People have always liked us. I mean, there were a few people like that. You know, there were a few P-offs and F-offs. And mostly people were very appreciative. And all age groups were very. And it doesn't matter. There was no, say, even businessmen in suits and this and that, at least they're taking the flyer. Someone came out, middle-aged man, and said, "Oh, you're really wonderful. Really appreciate what you're doing." So it's definitely a very good feeling. And the Irish, they have, they're famous also among the fucking rebels. They're famous for being missionaries. So we see that the Irish devotees, once they have that tendency to be missionaries and preachers. Of course, a lot of them went all over the world, which didn't help Ireland that much. But
we have to have the devotees there to actually, you know, people are trying to make devotees that they actually stay.
Yeah, as much as possible, because you know, it's the tendency of Irish is to go out, although it may be changing now that the economy has improved. So the traditional tendency has to be to go all over the world. Yeah.
Even the poets and the writers go.
Yeah, they all went to England. James Joyce,
Samuel Beckett.
Then our, who's that guy who was in who's stuck in prison for being homosexual?
Yeah. Yeah, Oscar Wilde.
Oh, Oscar Wilde, yeah. He was also in London. You're all in the gutter.
But at the same time, I can see when the devotees first come, if there's not so much going on in Ireland, they'll want to leave and go somewhere where there's, you know, where they can have more association with more devotees. And it's better, you know, it's easier for them in their spiritual life.
Yeah, we have to preach pro-Irishism. I'm Irish and proud of it.
That was a critical thing when he came, first of all, like before that England, the boys would come in and just, you know, do semi-family. And then I remember Amita was talking that then suddenly they came over one day and then Preetu knocked on the door and he walked in and said, out, everybody out, you know. And just told him, not never to come back again, you know. And then he proceeded to preach to the boys in Ireland that everybody else was off. Except us.
Yeah.
So we all thought we were on the best thing. But it worked, because I know that Bali Param, in fact, people pretty much do the same thing in Scotland.
Little fanaticism.
Yeah.
He's preaching like that, also everyone's off.
Yeah.
Well, it may be true to some extent. I mean, a lot of weird things go on in some of these things. And it might be a good idea to inoculate devotees. Seriously. Man, I tell my disciples that, you know, I frankly say to them that I think many of the things in Islam and many of the leaders, and it's not exactly what Prabhupada taught. Because, you know, I don't want to tell them to turn into eclectic hippies, and what's the use of like being a guru? You know, just potpourri, take whatever you like. So, you know, That's part of it. Again, if you really want to train them up to be enthusiastic and strict and everything, then maybe you've got to say that. Otherwise, it could become like Croatia, where, you know, it's just a completely bizarre. Don't mind me saying so. Sorry if I'm offending your national spirit. But, you know, in the name of Krishna consciousness, like all new age and hardly anyone's following anything, or most initiated devotees don't chant 16 rounds. It's only when you really get strict and together that things start to work. Like in Ljubljana, they're starting to do things the way the Prabhupada said, you know, getting up in the morning, having mangalarti, chanting, preaching according to Shastra, not according to some, whatever the latest New Age Guru says, and you know, it works. But if you mix it all up and water it down, it doesn't work. Then you don't get Krishna consciousness, and you just mind about mush. So, that's my suggestion. Otherwise, we could say we'll organize this program and that program. But are you in favor of strong leadership with all its inherent faults? Even in the secular field, I was living in Bangladesh for quite a few years, so they went through phases of dictatorship and democracy. And actually, when there was dictatorship, the country was much better organized, and people were much less agitated. I mean, there might have been a few excesses and tortures and executions here and there, but in general, you know, people, there's a leader, and that's it. And things could get organized. Whereas with democracy, there are always riots in the streets and protests, and you know, no one knew what was going on from one day to the next. Democracy might work to some extent in these countries, but it's not very often. There's actually less corruption when there's dictatorship, because with dictatorship, there's one person being corrupt. And with democracy, there's lots of people being corrupt, and the whole place becomes corrupt. So, I mean, that's not exactly the answer, but the point is that with strong leadership, there may be some excesses also. But the alternative is no leadership and nothing gets done. And, you know, then we're just nice, that's all. Then we have five of us who are nice to each other. And actually, they're not usually what happens is that in the name of being nice, everyone's just backbiting behind everyone else's back and making a veneer of being nice. At least with strong leadership, they're straight out nasty. You know, trying to make a show of being nice.
Maharaj, you assume that Pritapur will go over all the disputes and come back.
You might go, the other half, if you invite him. It's a suggestion that if it was to happen, would probably within a short time have the whole yatra booming again. Whereas, you know, no disrespect to any of you, but even if I was to come and spend time here, then, even if I was to come and spend time here, then it wouldn't happen in the same way that it would with Prithiprabhu, because he's an organizer and motivator. Have you thought about that at all? Maybe you had.
It would be something that I think it would polarize certain people on
that. Well, there aren't that many of the old school left.
There's not.
There's yourself who has Japa Yagya.
No.
Pragosh.
Yeah.
Pragosh, he wouldn't go for it. Well, yeah,
I don't think he would. No.
What about yourself? Would you be open to it at all?
I would be probably more open to it than Pragosh, because in one sense, of my relationship with Pragosh, I probably would stay. Pragosh would try to, you know, to push on as we're going on. But I tend to think that Supriti and Pragosh also, they have a certain respect as well for each other in that sense too. And I don't think Supriti has been very, very good at mine in that sense. Like, for instance, the whole idea when we were selling the island, he was very supportive, even though he didn't go with the idea. You know, but he was very respectful to the devotees doing that.
Mm.
And then, and he was also very, you know, supportive. Yeah, like one of the disciples now, which I'm in, and so
on.
And he's very much a well-wisher. He wants all his disciples to help him as well.
Yeah. Maybe there still could be some kind of reconciliation.
Yeah.
Maybe it's possible. Maybe some mediator is required.
Yeah.
Is Pragosh Prabhu coming? I wanted to speak with him about France, actually. I didn't have this idea of saying all these things to you. It was just that you said yesterday about organizing and I wasn't particularly thinking about it.
And Shiva has probably had a very good relationship with the coach as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are very, very close in that sense. And he's also given it to the coach at that time.
Maybe Prithiprabhu could get involved in a manner that would be acceptable to all, that sending some of his disciples.
Yeah. I mean, when he comes now, you know, he comes back and wants to.
He's got some very good disciples, active now.
Yeah.
From Ayana.
Yeah.
His disciples tend to be very active.
That's right, yeah. Like, I asked Rani Kumar if he would also, you know, maybe come over to. He's going to go back to America with his child. But he's quite interested as well. Probably that's the way. I mean, because there's more of his disciples now, his presence will be more natural in that sense. And so,
they're all mature devotees also.
They are, yeah. I think there'll be a nice, gradually he will have more of an impact. Maybe not as the, yeah, in one sense that was.
Yeah, when it would be the Kaiser.
Yeah, that was probably the problem that I had, because even when everybody went against Brita the last time, I had Rohini Kumar and his disciples in Dublin, but the thing was I was a little reluctant that everybody who came to the temple, go to Nishrat, and would automatically become a preaching disciple. That was the real problem that I had, because I thought that some people, because I know some people who did become a disciple are not really suited in one sense, they don't really gel very well. So I wanted more of a pluralistic sort of situation, like in Islam, that devotees are able to choose a person who they feel they can surrender to more so. So that was sort of the reason why that.
Maybe these things could be discussed and worked out. There aren't that many gurus these days who are into a kind of Sangacharya system. Mm-hmm. Most of them, you know, they're even quite happy in one sense if devotees become disciples of someone else, because you know, when you've got so many disciples, then not everyone thinks like that, but many think that, you know, it's like, you know, it's not very bad now. So
we were also hoping that Trivikramaraj, that time when he came to Ireland, that he would start to go out when he was in court, and he would also start to do more.
It happened. I remember that he was in court. What happened?
Some of his disciples didn't get visas and were called to, you know, cruise ship business there at the time. But he was coming to all the national council meetings, and, you know, he was, you know, I mean, even a couple of years ago, and I mentioned to him, as one great town, that we have a place here now if he's interested in coming in and getting involved.
One thing in Ireland that's going on is that more devotees, and even Grihastha devotees from India, are serving in Ireland as pujaris. There's one in Belfast, there's also Lake Island. Two or three.
I would think in general that's not a very good sign, because that means you're not making our own devotees. That's usually a sign of regression. We also have to break fast, isn't it?
It's okay, Guruji. It's until 10 o'clock.
I think I was misinformed. My calendar is for India. And somebody else said it's 8:12.
8:12, 2 or?
Until 8:12.
6:01 until 8:12.
Then we missed it.
It can't be 6:01 because it was still dark at that time. That must be the Indian time.
No, that's the one that they sent for the calendar.
How is that? Do you have any prasad, greens?
Yeah, he's just going to come.
Okay, come.
A couple of greens. Nor is that took to a couple of hydrogen waters. And it seems that Nimit cannot forget what Trichaprabha had done wrong to them. But he has changed, definitely.
He's working cooperatively in Germany as a co-GPC, and in America also.
He's definitely not the same old, so to say, bad creature. He has changed, definitely. My guru told me that. I know I could see him. He learned a little bit from his son, and he saw how he had neglected his son, and his son grew away from him, and he felt bad about that. I think that contributed to his wife. Now she's away from him too. Of course, that's natural. It's kind of a long process for him, but she's studying in the United States, working very hard to get a degree. So his life has changed in some ways, personally.
But his dynamism in making devotees and getting things done, that's still there.
I was thinking as well, instead of like having, like you were suggesting, that he comes and just works as a devotee, more or less as like just preaching and, you know, not being an authority. But what about just letting him have his own in Ireland? Say you were to let him, not Dublin because, you know, the older devotees are here in Suffolk, but suppose you were going to let him for a year, devotees decided to let him be in charge in Galway and to preach there and see how it went, see how devotees there felt with him.
It's possible. It might be a little bit of a small time place for him.
Or somewhere, you know, any.
Give him Aran Islands and Galway.
One thing we should consider also is that the. Actually, what are you going to do? That's a password, anyway. I was going to say, just you can remind me if I forget that. Service to the deities, we have to consider the way that the deities are being worshipped. I mean, the Innisfail Island needs the building needs complete renovation.
Belfast too.
Yeah. So that's not going to happen very soon at this present.